I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Daily Tip on About MGM Network. Good morning. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on this midweek edition, we will get started with last night's college football playoff rankings, which were released. Then in 20 minutes, we will continue talking about what we saw last night and how Cole Thompson feels about it. He is the host of SEC Unfiltered, Donkster Time, and our best bets come your way at 8:40. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium. During our final hour, we stream each and every day. If you'd like to do that, you can go to ValleySportsLive.com or download the Valley Sports Live app. We are streaming on X as well. How you doing? Good to see you. Chelsea, what was your initial reaction when we saw the college football playoff rankings last night? We have Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3, followed by Bama at 4.
I think my biggest reaction, because I am friends with you, is that, boy, does Texas look like they are in the driver's seat when it comes to the college football playoff. And remember, what a roller coaster of a season it's been for Texas, the preseason number one, to people calling Arch Manning the definition of failure, to now Texas is gaining some steam. And if you look at their schedule for the rest of the season, they have some really big games left to where they can certainly prove things. And the wildest part is it feels like they only have to win one of those two big games against top five opponents, because they go on the road to Georgia, which is a really tough one, especially the way that Georgia is so resilient in the fourth quarter. And then they finish the season at home against Texas A&M in a rivalry matchup. So, Jenks, my question is for you, somebody who follows Texas football religiously,
this is true.
Do you think Texas can win one of those games?
I think so. Texas is sort of Texas is a weird team. They're a very weird team. And I say that because, look, they're the only team in college football that has been to the college football playoff semifinal two straight years. No other team has done that. They have a Manning at quarterback, and Arch at times looked like he had no idea what he's doing, and then other times looks like he makes these NFL throws, does make these NFL throws that not many quarterbacks in college football can make. I think when it comes to Arch in particular, Texas does not have a great offensive line. They have a hard time running the ball. They have a hard time protecting Arch. Very few quarterbacks in college football have been pressured like he has been. But what happens? They protect him better than they have all season against Vandy. And if not for those corrupt referees at the end of that game, by the way, some of the worst refereeing I've ever seen, that's a blowout. And Vandy is damn good. So Texas is one of those teams because of how they recruit and because Arch does have talent. If they get protection up front, they can play with anyone because that's a top 10 defense. Now they're having some issues on the back end, but all of the tools are there. We've seen it even in that loss to Ohio State. I know they lost to Florida as well. They hung with Ohio State until the fourth quarter. And teams evolve throughout the season, but the tools are there. They need the polish, is what Texas needs. But at 30-1, you're talking about good value, really good value for Texas. But they will have to earn it. I do think they can win two of the three against Arkansas, A&M, and Georgia. Arkansas is one of those teams that will be an issue because that's a rivalry that goes back a long way, and it could be a trap game for the Longhorns. I'm telling you, Texas has to be careful about that game. But if you're the Longhorns, everything is right in front of you because you went out, you're in.
Right, and this is the benefit of having a really tough schedule. And I think when people look at Texas, and some people might be mad about their current standing, I think it just goes to show that the committee really does not want to punish teams for scheduling really tough non-conference opponents. So they look at that loss, the very first game of the season against Ohio State, who is the number one team right now, and they say, okay, that's fine. You lost to the number one team on the road with a relatively new quarterback in Arch Manning. So I think that's the general consensus I get from these rankings, is that that's what the committee said, that they're going to take precedence over everything, is that we're not going to punish you for losses against really good teams, but we are going to punish you for bad losses.
Right.
And we obviously give you more credit for good wins against good teams. So, of course, people are going to be upset. Like, there are going to be teams who are going to be arguing about this no matter what. But I will say this. these rankings matter to an extent. Like, you can see the pathway for Texas. But at the end of the day, like, we see this every year where chaos ensues the last few weeks of college football, especially with some of these rivalry games at the very end of the year, where some of this stuff will work itself out, and some of this arguing that we're doing, you know, on November 5th will be for nothing.
I agree. I can't wait to see how these things evolve. And I do think we got a little bit of insight into how the committee thinks. One of the things that we talked about yesterday was what's going to happen with these head-to-head meetings, right? Mm-hmm. So, fascinating enough, we have BYU taking on Texas Tech this weekend. Right now, BYU is number 7. Texas Tech is number 8, so that's going to have a massive effect. But then you look at Miami and Notre Dame. So, these are two teams that met at the beginning of the season in Miami. First start for C.J. Carr. He goes down there. Miami wins the game. And so with both of these teams sitting with a couple losses, you think, okay, will Miami get the nod because they have the head-to-head over Notre Dame? Or will the committee say, well, that was a few weeks ago. We take the whole season into account. We take analytics into account. And we'll factor that in as well. That's what the committee did, which is why we're seeing Notre Dame at 10. And Miami is all the way down at number 18. And frankly, all things being equal, I would say head-to-head matters. It does matter. But when you have such a large body of evidence after what we've seen since the beginning of the season, I think it's pretty clear that Notre Dame is the better team, and the committee recognized that.
Right. And I think that it's also saying that the committee does not love the ACC, and for good reason. Like, the ACC does not feel like a very deep conference. But by issue of, you know, somebody has to make it in from the ACC with the automatic bid. Mm-hmm. And looking at the conference wins and losses, Miami stands at 2-2 in the ACC. So it's going to be an uphill climb for the Canes. It feels like it's been a precipitous drop for Miami down the stretch. I do think you see this list and you're like, wow, Big 12. You know, they could get several teams in, maybe a couple here. And like you mentioned, there is a big game looming this week. Like you said, who was it? It was Utah and who was it? Texas Tech?
BYU and Texas Tech.
BYU and Texas Tech. So I think a lot of people don't love to give credit to the Big 12, but the committee surely is, as we can tell by these rankings.
Yeah, I think that the committee wants to see a little bit more from some of these teams. But ultimately, I think if you're the Big 12, you have to be pleased where you are, right? Because the committee is always going to lean into an Ohio State or an Alabama or a Georgia or an Ole Miss. Like, the SEC is well represented, at least at the top. And even at the bottom, too, you've got Texas and Oklahoma. So I think if you're the Big 12, they're being respected here, rightfully. But ultimately, when you're playing that schedule, which is softer than the SEC schedule, that is always going to be factored in by the committee. What is your take on Ohio State being number one? Do you agree with that over Indiana? Mac Rhodes was asked about this. He is the chairperson of the College Football Playoff Committee, and he basically said, look, these teams are very, very close, but we think Ohio State is a bit better up front on the offensive line. We thought they were better defensively. I think this is just old school, like, yeah, it's Ohio State.
Right. It's basically them saying, hey, it's the quote-unquote eye test.
Right.
And maybe Ohio State is the better team. It's just that's literally the only way that you can spin it, because all the metrics certainly love Indiana. Like, on paper, their numbers fly off the page. And I think it's just one of those things where Indiana has to earn their credit, whereas, you know, Ohio State gets it on a silver platter. It's like, oh, well, you guys have been great this year. You know, innocent until proven guilty, which is not the case for Indiana. But Indiana is still in the top three, and I do think in the grand scheme of things, as long as you're one of those top four teams, like, you're still in a really good spot. Like, obviously we don't know the matchups just yet, but Indiana still should be in a great spot to be in the college football playoff and make a strong run. But when you look at the rest of these teams, is there any other team that maybe people have a reason to be mad about their rankings? Like, I'm looking at Oregon, and we had this conversation earlier, where Oregon is 7-1, and you look at all these SEC teams that also have a loss on the schedule, and Oregon's only loss is to the number 2 team in the land. Do you think Ducks fans have a right to be angry?
Yeah, I do. If you're at Oregon, your only loss is to the number two team in the college football playoff rankings. And I know immediately you say, well, look at Penn State. Yeah, they got that win, but Penn State sucks now. It's like, yeah. Why do they suck, though? Because Oregon ended their season. That game was so built up, like not just for this season, but honestly, for years, if you think about it. If you think about James Franklin before he was fired by Penn State, like they had been building for this game for years. Like, this is the team. All offseason, this is when Penn State finally makes a run. This is it. I mean, these guys return. They are here to win a natty. They had been building this up before the season. We knew this is the game. It was at night. It was a whiteout. Went to overtime. Like, this was it for Penn State. And once Oregon took them down, then everything fell apart because it destroyed that program for this season. They're going to be fine. They'll hire someone. They're going to be great. But when you lose to UCLA and you lose to Northwestern, I mean, clearly the bottom drops out because of that loss to Oregon. So punishing Oregon because Penn State isn't good now is not fair, because the reason why Penn State isn't good now is because Oregon snatched their souls. Like, if Penn State wins that game, Penn State is probably still undefeated, and then you're really punishing Oregon. So I think Oregon has a case to say, we've only lost to Indiana. We beat Penn State in Happy Valley at night. What else do you want from us?
Right, because I think the main case that goes against him is like, okay, what's their signature win? And it does look like that one, because they don't have any other ranked wins other than, you know, that game when Penn State was actually ranked. But you look at some of these other teams, like Ole Miss only has one ranked win over Oklahoma on the road, which, you know, granted, it's a pretty good win.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's going to be a lot of arguing, and there always is. But at the end of the day, there are 12 teams that get in. And I don't want to hear it, because, you know, if you're not one of the 12 top teams in the country, that's your own fault.
Right.
So I don't want to hear it, but this is why I think they do this, because it drives the conversation for college football. And there's a reason they have this long, drawn-out show for it, because they know that this type of engagement and reaction is great for college football. So I know that we sit here and say, oh, I wish we could all get along. I feel like these executives are like, no, we kind of like it when people bicker, because it actually drives interest in the sport.
Oh, there's no question about it. And honestly, it's a healthy bickering. I don't think that they are purposefully sending a team down the rankings to generate talk or to generate debate. But they probably don't mind it, because at the end of the day, these can change, right? They'll change next week. Mm-hmm. These final rankings aren't out for another month. December 7th, my birthday. My birthday gift will be the college football rankings finally come out and being solidified. So because there is so much discussion, because there is so much debate, because things will naturally change because of wins and losses, this is going to evolve in a big way, and we'll probably see some shockers along the way. The committee knows that. So this is a very, this is kind of like just building out a resume or something, where it's not got the polish on it, but you've got kind of the framework in place. Like, this is what we're working with right now, but this is not a finished product.
Right, exactly. So I have one more question from a betting standpoint, James, because right now Texas is +170 to make the college football playoffs. And I think we've already gone over, and you think that they can win two of their last three games of the season.
Yeah.
But if you don't think that game is Georgia, which is their next one, would you wait to bet this until after that game? Or do you think they stand a chance on the road against Georgia?
I think they stand a chance. I'm a little worried. I mean, Georgia has owned Texas recently. But, you know, Florida put up a fight this past weekend, which gives me hope, because I thought Florida was undervalued in that game. They got a lucky cover. But I think that we've seen that teams can maybe play with Georgia more than they've been able to in the past. And one thing that Georgia does do this season, which has been a bit of an Achilles heel, is they get off to really slow starts. At some point, that will punish them. And Texas has as well. But I think Texas definitely has a puncher's chance going into Georgia against a defense that is good, but hasn't been what we've seen maybe in previous years. Coming up next on the show. Oh, we're not done talking about this here on the show. We're going to continue discussing the college football playoff rankings and chat with Cole Thompson, who is host of SEC Unfiltered. He is next on the Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network. Coming up,
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On the show, we'll bring in Cole Thompson, get his take on the new college football playoff rankings when we bring in the host of SEC Unfiltered. We already got college basketball taking place. Have you watched any college hoops this season? I watched Texas get smacked around by Duke a little bit last night. That was fun.
No, I don't have ESPN, so I'm still holding firm. And I haven't found, like, pirated ways to watch college basketball, because I have found ways to watch the NFL still. But still looking for good options when it comes to college hoops.
All right. Well, I'm still waiting on that Belmont bet. Whenever you want to throw it out there, I'm waiting. I'm going to get one of these bells we have here in studio, and as soon as I hear that Belmont bet, I'm going nuts on that bell. I really haven't used the bell. We've got four bells here. Do they still use these, D-Day? Yeah, all the time?
Yeah, we used to use them on the weekend all the time.
Okay.
We're the only ones in here now, though.
Yeah, it's just us. Last one standing here. Well, someone else we got ready to go here. We can ring the bell for him. Cole Thompson, host of SEC Unfiltered, also producer on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Cole, good morning to you. And I'll start with the basics here before we get going. Do you agree with Ohio State over Indiana? Why or why not?
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, I understand if you want to put Indiana in there. Their strength of schedule isn't as polished as maybe Ohio State, but at the same time, their margin of victory has been significantly better than anybody else in the country, especially in the top four. But when you look at Ohio State, the fact is that right now they are playing like the most cohesive team in the sport. They are dominating defensively. It's interesting that they lose nine starters and they also lose their defense coordinator. And pencil pushing Matt Patricia comes on in, and the numbers are actually even better than what they were a season ago. Caleb Downs is having a Heisman caliber season that we're all overlooking because, well, you got a quarterback that's completing 80% of his passes to two elite top 10 wide receivers in the NFL draft over the next 2 years. And the offensive line is doing its job. They're handling business against quite literally everybody, any test that they've gone up against, whether it be a good Washington team, Texas coming on back in. They've made sure to eliminate their opponent and kind of make them obsolete. And to me, that is what screams number one team in the country. I have no problem with that. In fact, for my money, I actually have a little bit more of a problem about having Texas A&M a little bit higher. The way that they have looked, the way that they've responded, I think that there's a pretty good case that you can make them as the number two team in Indiana at number three, which, by the way, whenever we finally get to the finish line, the top four, if it is still going to be Alabama, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Ohio State, the winner of the SEC and the winner of the Big Ten are going to be one and two. So why not just get practicing for that standpoint?
Right, because there is a lot of stuff that will work itself out as the season goes on. And you mentioned Texas A&M, and I see that you are based in Houston. So I have to ask about Texas as well, because we know the final game of the season for Texas is against Texas A&M. So when you see Texas in the 11th spot, and it feels like they're in the driver's seat, is this a Texas team that you think will make the college football playoff?
Make it no, but at the same time, I'm not going to bet against them right now. Here's the beauty of what we've seen from Texas. When their offense is humming, it's a top 15 unit, and Arch Manning over the last six quarters has been as advertised. He has a completion percentage of 77.3%. He has six total touchdowns. He's led multiple scoring drives against Mississippi State in the comeback in Starkville and then the game against Vanderbilt last week. It was closer than expected, but we can talk about bad coverage and officiating regardless of that. The offense, as what we saw, is going to be the backbone of this team. And if they can go into Georgia in 2 weeks and be able to play that exact same level of consistency, Georgia's been playing with fire. And eventually, when you stick around with the flame a bit too long, you will get burnt. This is a very good offense that could jump out to a significant lead and kind of rewrite their pathway into the playoffs. Them being at number 11 does show volume that they are probably going to be favorited as long as a Texas Tech or a BYU drops. But the thing is that because Texas Tech, BYU, and Utah are all in the top 13, there's going to be a pathway for there to be two teams from the Big 12, bare minimum, to get them into the 12-team playoff. And Texas still has to face off against two teams that very much are going to be ranked ahead of them. The Oklahoma battle as well gives them a slight advantage over Oklahoma if, to say, Oklahoma were to beat Alabama but lose to Missouri or LSU at the end of the year and still be 9-3. Texas has a good defensive line. They're secondary. People want to go ahead and say, well, you know, they lost their top cornerback and they lost two starting safeties. You're Texas. You bring in five-star talent every single year. One of the things that you completely, you know, boast about in the SEC is that you have great depth. So you got to show me that depth is going to be able to bring it all together when you face off against top five teams in Texas A&M and in Georgia. But if you go win out and you're 10-2, you're a lock for the college football playoff. If you go 9-3 and you split the series between Texas A&M and Georgia, and let's say it's by a 3-point differential, there's going to be voters that look at that team and say they have two significant wins, they have one significant loss, and everything else they handle business against. We at least got to consider putting them in as the number 11 seed.
We're talking with Cole Thompson. He is the host of SEC Unfiltered, also a producer on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. So, Cole, do you have a beef with maybe there should be more SEC teams, or did the committee mostly get it right for now?
No, the committee got it right. If I'm being honest, I think that Tennessee needs to kind of be out of the picture. And here's the reason why, guys. How do we know Memphis is the top G5 team? They're not ranked, and neither is Tulane, and neither is North Texas, and neither is USF, and neither is James Madison. So if we're going to go down this pathway of saying that we need to have inclusion with the G5 program, which I'm not for, I'm not against. I personally would love to have a G5 playoff. It's more postseason at-stakes college football. But regardless, if we're going to go down this pathway, you have to have a spot for them in the top 25. So we're looking last night, we're saying, oh, well, naturally, Memphis has to be the team on in. Well, why does Tennessee then need to be ranked? They don't have a significant win this year. They've played in overtime against two different opponents. They haven't beaten a ranked team so far in conference play, and they're guaranteed a spot in just because of it's the SEC. And meanwhile, we're talking about the status of James Madison, who right now is humming on all three cylinders. They have significant wins over everybody in the Sun Belt, but they have a loss to Louisville, which is in the top 15. And then we talk about Memphis, where Memphis has a win over an SEC team, but they have one of the worst losses to UAB. So how do we justifiably crown that there is a top G5 team when none are ranked? So if it comes down to us losing a team for the SEC, I have no problem with it. But if you want to go ahead and say we're going to include the G5 representative, you have to include the G5 representative in everything. That means in the top 25 to know who truly is the best team in that division.
Okay, so when it comes to these rankings, it always feels like somebody's going to be mad. And sometimes people are justified, and there are real reasons why they can point at the list and be like, hey, why are we further down than this team? Who do you think fits the bill for that team, a fan base that has a right to be angry with these rankings?
Oh my God, there's the easiest answer of all time, guys. It's Miami. It's 100% Miami. And it's not the fact that Miami is at number 18. It's the fact that Miami is at number 18. And who's at number 10? It's Notre Dame. And I would understand if you were to say, okay, well, we're going based off of projections. We're talking about that we believe at this point Miami is going to finish the year 9-3 and Notre Dame's going to finish the year 10-2. All right, fine. No problem there. But right now, they're both with 7-2 records. They both have a win against a ranked team. They both have a loss against a ranked team. And for Notre Dame's standpoint, Notre Dame has a loss to Miami. So if we're saying that records matter, and we're saying that head-to-heads matter, and we're saying that matchups matter, and clearly everywhere else they do matter because Vanderbilt is ranked ahead of Missouri, Texas is ranked ahead of Oklahoma, and Virginia is ranked ahead of Louisville, all games that were played on the field at an actual site where the head-to-head winner is ranked further ahead, why are we giving the benefit of the doubt to Notre Dame while meanwhile Miami is sitting behind them when they won the football game? And I understand Miami has been dreadful the last couple of games. They lost to Miami they lost to Louisville in horrendous fashion with four turnovers. The game against SMU was kind of a little bit of a choke job and also just flat out embarrassing. But the committee's supposed to go in with an unbrash and unbiased take. You look at Miami right now, the bottom line is that it feels like the voters are punishing them because of the expectations they had in their mind except when they face off against Notre Dame after week one. Like, that's where we're at. Okay, now you're at 18 because of it. Because Notre Dame doesn't have a significant win over anybody. Notre Dame hasn't played up to the standard of some teams that we've seen in the ACC or some teams that we've seen in the Big 12. But they're Notre Dame, and they have won 7 straight, and they continue to rattle off wins. So we just give them the benefit of the doubt, despite the fact that if head-to-heads are supposed to be a dire factor, they should be right next to Miami, and they should be behind Miami. But unfortunately, Miami comes in at number 18, and it does feel like they're going to need a lot of chaos to happen while they have to win on out just to be in the chatter. Meanwhile, Notre Dame, who they beat, just has to win on out. No harm, no foul.
Cole, who is a team that is not in the top 12 right now? Not Miami, but a team that's kind of hovering right there that you think by the end could actually make a significant move here?
I mean, I think there's two. Louisville's schedule down the stretch is very, very relaxed. They have that matchup against Kentucky to kind of close things on out. They're going to be able to, I think, show the rest of the country that they are the most complete team in the ACC. So sitting at 15 is not that bad. But I look at Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, a lot of people are going to go ahead and say, well, they were embarrassing against Texas. Okay, maybe, but they found a way to come back, and they only lost by 3, which, again, we can talk about bad officiating all we want, but they still found a way to respond. They close out the season with games against Kentucky, against Auburn, and against Tennessee. Tennessee right now, there's so many people that want Josh Heupel fired. So there's a lot of chaos currently going on in Neyland. Auburn just fired its head coach. They're not going to face off against Diego Pavia for a 4th time with Hugh Freeze at the helm to where he is going to find a way to mess things up. And Kentucky, for as good as they were last week, they were only good because of Auburn was terrible. So if they run the table, and then we see Alabama beat Oklahoma, and we see Texas lose to either Texas A&M or Georgia or both, and if Utah drops a game, and eventually somebody from the ACC is going to play against each other, whether it be Georgia Tech and Louisville or Virginia and Louisville, they drop a game, Vanderbilt's in a pretty good spot at 16 to be able to punch its way all the way up to number 11 and get a backdoor cover into the playoff. Maybe it's not the thought process they wanted, but for a lot of people out there, they said Vanderbilt was dead after losing to Texas. Not even remotely close. They just have to win out and get a little bit of a boost. But if those things happen, they're going to be in the 12-team college football playoff.
All right, so we have like a minute left, and I wanted to ask you this because these rankings are great for discussion, but at the end of the day, how many teams do you think can actually win the national championship? Is it a long list, or is it only a few teams?
I think in the best way that I can put it in less than a minute, it's going to be based off of your matchups. How quickly can you go out and find out which teams you are facing off against in the 12-team postseason picture? Because I didn't believe Notre Dame could win a national title last year, but they got the benefit of the doubt because of their schedule. I didn't think Penn State could win a national title last year, but they got the benefit of the doubt because of their schedule. I truly think from a talent perspective, there are 6 teams that can win it. I think Texas A&M, Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, and Ole Miss are good enough to win a national title. And maybe you could throw in Oregon. I just need to see a little bit more from them this weekend out at Kinnick Stadium. It's probably going to do wonders. But besides that, I only think that those are the numbers that we're looking at. From that standpoint, you also got to make sure that you get a beneficial matchup. Because the last thing you can afford to do is be a Georgia team that ends up being at the 5 spot. Then you have to face off against Alabama at the 4 spot, and your season's already done before you get out of the quarterfinals.
Make sure you check him out as host of SEC Unfiltered, also producer on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, and is our good friend Cole Thompson. Cole, always appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Well, I appreciate a man who is willing to support Arch Manning, even if it's over 6 quarters. I'll just take what I can get. But he makes a really good point in not overreacting and saying, overall, I think, these things are built for debate. There's going to be some sort of hot take today that comes out and someone loses their minds over some sort of ranking. But I think on the whole here, there's not a ton to debate. You're always going to have some minor quibbles when you're talking about a 12-team playoff, because even if it's 128 teams, team 129 will be like, why not us? Look at our schedule. So these are always going to be a part of it. But I think on the whole, this is a pretty solid list.
Yeah, I think so as well. And again, once you have 12 teams in, like, how much bigger does the pot need to be, for finding a national champion? Because from a talent perspective, usually you don't need to go that far even. But I do think possibly when the final rankings come out, the matchups will be something that people bicker about. Because, if you are one of those teams that is down a few spots and you have a much tougher matchup in the first round, that's when people have a right to be angry. So we will, you know, we have fighting now, but just you wait until the final rankings of the season. Then people will be very angry.
Oh, God, don't you know it? That's when the real debate begins, because this is all just, this is all sunshine and rainbows for now. We've still got a full month until the official rankings are released. So if you're not in now, you can say, all right, we just got to keep winning. These teams will lose if we're not in. Or if you're already in, you say, yeah, let's just keep staying the course here. We're going to be fine. So there will be a lot of jockeying over the next 4 weeks, but that's when the real debate will take place. Coming up next, a little more debate on how we're going to win some money today. Yeah, maybe we'll do it in the NBA. Maybe. I'll ask Chelsea. That and more coming up next on The Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network on a Wednesday. Come on back.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, please gamble responsibly.
Welcome back to the show. Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She's Chelsea Messenger. Guess what? Donks are coming up here in a little bit. I see you looking at the NBA slate and getting more depressed by the second. That's
this
it.
This is true. I'm definitely not feeling great about this bet. But we've talked about this a lot, is that I never feel super confident betting on a league when they just start the season, just because there's not that much data to pull from. And like, we come on the show and we like to have ammo and logic and stats behind our arguments. And it's just when you don't have that much information to draw off of, a lot of it is, hey, trust me, bro, this is what I'm seeing with my eyes. So it is a limited sample size, which sometimes can be statistically inaccurate if you're trying to expand it over a season. So it's just one of those things where I'm going to give a bet, but please don't put the mortgage on it, because I don't feel that great about it.
So you don't want me to take your bet today, repost it on X, and say, put the mortgage on it. All caps.
I don't know.
Put the mortgage on it.
I would not be surprised if our social team does this, though. Like, sometimes Chelsea, I have a take on things, and like, they're like, the headline is, Chelsea is hammering the Colts to win the Super Bowl. And it's like, I said the Colts have a chance to win the Super Bowl. So, like, let's not try to church it up. So, please do not take my words out of context. I have a bet on the NBA today, but, again, it is a 2-star out of 5 ranking for my confidence level.
Here's what I'll do. I'll pick up the baton here. You got the Sixers, I believe. I won't give it away. And I'll just say, Chelsea Messenger says Philly to win the NBA title this season. And I'll put like clapping emoji. You'll put it on me. I'll take it. I'll take the heat.
Well, like, I get what they're doing, and like, you need catchy headlines on social media, and you need to grab people's attention. But like, sometimes you're like, oh great, this is a take that I am attached to for the rest of eternity. The internet lives forever, Jinx.
It does. Well, they just delete it. Just be like, delete. That pick never happened. Never, ever happened. That's why I have a perfect record on X. What are you doing today? I got a lot off my plate, so I think I got a haircut and a nap. That's big day for this guy. Huge day.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I think the worst days are when you have a bunch of stuff scheduled. Like, the best is when it's just, like, open and you don't have anything. Because, like, I still have things to do, but I don't have anything that I have to be at a certain time. Right. So, I will probably make something in the crock pot today. I need to go to the bank. Obviously, I'm taking Blake to school. I've got to get her some new winter clothes, because winter just came, just, like, quickly. And here's the thing about kids. They're a different size every year. So, it's like, oh, you bought clothes last year? Time to buy them again. So, that is kind of annoying. But it's one of those things for kids. And it is fun for them to get a whole new wardrobe.
Sure. Let me ask you this. Is she done playing baseball? I mean, we're getting close to the wintertime here. Is that finally wrapped up?
Yeah, that was about a month ago.
Oh,
so
no
way.
So
they haven't had softball in a while.
Whoa. Did she win MVP? The Yoshi of her league? The Shohei?
I mean, they don't even keep score in these games, and they don't have referees. So if that gives you any insight, everyone's an MVP, and everybody gets a trophy.
I was going to say, when I think about that league, everyone's a winner. Everyone. Everyone who participated, I hope they got a trophy, too, because everyone deserves
they
it.
They did.
Good job. Yeah. Oh, good. That's good.
I mean, she's five. What did you expect?
You know, I can't wait. Her projections are, by the time she's seven, it's scholarship time. It's only a matter of time. Do they hit off a tee or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, without taking too much time explaining it, it's like they get three pitches from the coach, and if they don't hit one of those three, they go to the tee and they get a cut off the tee.
Okay. I like that. All right. Looking forward to next year. What about Jake's travel team before we get to our bets? Is that still going? Because last time I checked, they were really good. Is that over two?
Well, Jinx, it's winter.
Like, I don't know.
They don't play in the winter.
Why not?
They don't play in the winter. So, no, that is over as well. Because it's cold.
I know. Well, did they win a title? I need to keep up on these things.
I mean, I don't think so. Like, I don't really keep up that much. Like, they go to tournaments. But, like, with travel ball, it's like they finished number 23 and, like, whatever. So, it's not.
I got you.
I don't know. It's all like weird stuff where it's like rankings and things.
Yeah.
So it's not, and there's so many associations. They're like, well, we won national champions of Dixie Youth and we won national champions of AAU.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things just so parents can brag on Facebook.
I get that. I don't like Dixie Youth. I feel like they've been braggart for a long, long time and I don't get behind that at all. So anything but Dixie Youth. Okay. Well, I don't know what the rankings were there in Hendersonville, but let's go 2-0 tonight.
Time to place your bets.
All right, Chelsea. Chelsea Messenger says, hammer this bet. Go ahead.
Here's today's dart throw in the NBA. And, like, bear with me as I get my legs in betting on the NBA. I feel like a wobbly little young deer right now trying to walk. So today's guess is going to be the Sixers, because the Sixers have been great at covering the number this year. And sometimes you can find value on some teams that have been overperforming as relative to expectations. So today, the Sixers getting 10 points on the road at the Cavs. And I understand that the Cavs are a good team. Darius Garland is supposed to return tonight. But this is a lot of points for a team that's 5-1. And I understand that Joel Embiid is not going to play because it's a back-to-back. But the Sixers have a winning record without Joel Embiid playing in games this year. Tyrese Maxey has been playing out of his mind. And here's the other thing. Normally, I'm not a huge fan of playing teams off a back-to-back, but the Sixers are coming off an embarrassing loss to the Bulls in which they blew like a 20-point lead in this game and lost 113 to 111. Tyrese Maxey scored 39 points in this game. He will be playing in this game. And they have some other additions to the team. VJ Edgecombe has been a nice surprise coming out of the draft. So I think the Sixers can keep it within double digits against the Cavs tonight because, again, they have been one of the better covering teams in the NBA, standing at 5-1 against the number. So let's go Philly, and let's hope they can keep it within 10.
All right. Let's go. Let's get a dub. All right. Went 1-0 in the NBA last night. Come on. What if I never bet on the NBA for the rest of the season and I just stayed undefeated and I never let people know, yeah, perfect in the NBA, perfect in the NBA. Maybe that's what I'll do. Who knows? But tonight I'm going back to the ice and I'm being a homer tonight. Caps on the money line. Oh, yeah, minus 150, even better. We've seen some money come in on the Blues. Why? Because the Cavs have been struggling recently. They've lost, what, four straight? I'm not worried about it. Tonight's going to be the night that Ovi gets 900. I can feel it in my bones. He's been stuck on 899 for a few games. It's going to happen tonight in front of the home crowd. Logan Thompson in net for the Cavs. 5-3 this season, 1.51 goals against average, and they're taking on a Blues team that is really struggling. They have not won on the road in forever, a few weeks. They're 1-8 in their last nine. So let a little bit of that money come in on St. Louis at plus money, because I am on the team getting the dub tonight as Ovi gets number 900. Caps minus 150 here in D.C.
What are the chances that the local bars actually show this on TV? Because I think the last time I was in town, it was like another milestone for Ovi.
Yeah.
And we were standing there at the bar and you're like, can we please get this on hockey? And they're like, no, it's on like some European reality show. So I know you complain about the local bars all the time. Let's hope they show it for the patrons tonight.
They better. I'm going to lose. I don't care what you have to subscribe to. I don't care what you have to do. But if I come in here again and I see Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants on for the 85th time, it's all the time. That's why I like going to my little bar around the corner, because they know when I walk in, and they're very kind, and I've been there forever. I open my mouth. They're like, don't worry, we're getting on ESPN for you. Like something with a game on, or if it's local and I want the Cavs on or the Wizards on, the Mystics, whatever. Like it's our local teams. And by the way, we're down the street. Like you can walk to the arena from here. Why is the game not on? That blows my mind. Like it's almost like this little pocket right around Chinatown. Like it's on there. But you get outside of that and it's like, oh, look, Die Hard. But I like Die Hard. But I don't want to see that tonight. I want to see the Cavs and Blues. I will complain about this until I'm blue in the face.
Especially when you have to watch it on mute. Like sports is the perfect thing to watch on mute as opposed to movies. We're like, I wonder what they're saying. I bet that was a funny line there. No, like I'll even watch like reruns of old games where they're like, here's the AFC Championship game from 2021. I'll still look up and watch it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it just feels right. You know, you're in the bar, you got a drink, you're talking with friends, you look up, sports is on. Come on. All right. Let's talk with the Donkster here. And we'll hand it over to Bet Sweats. Donkster, what's going on? Good morning. Okay. Good morning. What's going on? Does anyone want to hear my college rankings?
Oh, no.
Sure. Go ahead. Number one, Arizona State. Number two, UCLA. Number three, Texas State. Surprise. Number four, Ole Miss. Donkster, where did you get these rankings? What are they based on? The hotness meter. Okay. That's what I thought. I knew when I heard ASU. Right there near the top. Okay. Do you have a bet? I do. Jazz plus 10.5 in Motown. They call it the Motor City. Great. So educational. Thank you, Donkster. Right, 1-0 last night, so good for him. Whew. Is Sammy P still alive? What about Joe? Are they still alive? Yeah. Is still around? I don't know. I got to call, text, check in on your friends if you haven't heard from them in a while. Just make sure you're doing okay. Just a public service message for everybody out there.
Yeah, they're dead to us. Maybe that's a little mean, but like no crosstalk anymore. They don't care to check in on us.
Yeah.
So
what about me? You don't know if I'm doing
okay?
Have you listened to this show? Okay. Guys, we always appreciate the time. That is it for us on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. For the entire crew and Chelsea, I'm Jinx. Have a great day. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.